Good morning. Before I start, I'd like to acknowledge my colleagues on this project. Alex Howard, a fellow DRPH student at the University of Kentucky, is here in the room. Our other two colleagues, Robert Shapiro and Lisa Peterson, who are also students at the University of Kentucky when this project began, were unable to be with us today. I have no financial relationships to disclose. And I'd like to give you just a little background about how this project was born. As you heard, my background is in small hospital administration. After I left that work and came to the University of Kentucky and began to study public health, I became very aware of how strong and committed a health department we had in the county where I'm from and where I served in the local hospital. What was interesting to me is, as a hospital CEO, I had no idea about that. We worked together very little, the health department and the small hospital, and I began to wonder if that was the case around the state or if we had some sort of a unique situation there where I served. So we began to talk among the students about how we could find out a little bit more about that. So the purpose of this study was to illustrate the system of collaboration between local health departments and hospitals in Kentucky, and also to compare the perspectives between the health departments and the hospitals during particular times of crisis. What I'd like to share with you today is just a little information about the importance of collaboration between these two groups, the methods of our study, how we put it together, the results of our study, and a few thoughts that were pulled from the results of the study on collaboration improvement opportunities. You're all familiar with the 1988 Institute of Medicine report, and in that report, the definition of the public health mission to create systems in which people can be healthy. And that report also defined the role of the health department as something that could not be done all alone. It was not just the health department's responsibility to do this, so collaborations were encouraged in that report. You're also aware of the essential public health services. Number two, to diagnose and investigate health problems and health hazards in communities, and in particularly small communities, this can be quite a challenge. Health service number four is to mobilize community partnerships to identify and solve health problems, so there's an impetus for us to work together. So we determined from these sources that collaboration truly was an important thing that we needed to investigate and find out more about in Kentucky. So we began to develop a survey for Kentucky hospitals. We tested the instrument among students and faculty at the University of Kentucky, and then we set out to survey all 127 Kentucky hospitals. We did not exclude any, so all types of hospitals were surveyed. And we targeted the chief nursing officers in each facility. We chose the chief nursing officers because we felt like that would be the individual that would have the most knowledge about at least some work that's done with the health departments and communicable disease reporting and that sort of thing. Now, we put forth quite an effort to have a high rate of return on the survey because we were starting with such a small number, 127 hospitals. So we started out by contacting the Vice President of Clinical Services at the Kentucky Hospital Association. We got her support on the project, and the initial contact that each hospital had regarding our survey was from her. She sent out a supportive email to all the hospital chief nursing officers, and in it embedded the link to the electronic survey that we had developed. We felt like that would give the survey a good start. From that point, the students there at the university each contacted the hospitals. We called all 127 of the Kentucky hospitals, encouraging them to complete the survey. If they didn't recall receiving that initial email, we gave them another one, encouraging them and thanking them if they had already completed the survey. Our last attempt to increase our participation was an individual letter from the students doing the survey, included a small gift as a thank you for those who had already completed the survey and an encouragement to those who had not. After all those three efforts, we were able to get a 37% response rate. So it's not quite as high as we had hoped for, but we felt like it was enough for us to take a look at the collaboration between hospitals and local health departments. Our survey asked a few hospital demographic questions, just so we know what types of hospitals were responding. We asked them about their methods of working with the local health department, and we also asked them not just how are you working with local health departments right now, but how would you like to be? What things would you like to be able to do with the local health department? We also talked a lot about liaison designation. Have you, as a hospital, designated somebody that's the primary contact to work with the local health department? Have you done that for times of normal operation? And since we were aware from our literature review that the most frequent way that we had found hospitals work with local health departments is during times of emergency, we ask if it was different during times of emergency. Do you have a particular person that works with the health department during those times? And then because we're at the university, we have the unique ability to work with other researchers. And there at the university is the Kentucky Public Health Research Network, which is a public health practice-based research network. And a few months prior to the initiation of our survey, this group had surveyed health departments in Kentucky regarding their response to the 2009 H1N1 event. Several questions were asked about how the local health department communicated with the hospital with regard to guidelines and protocols that were sent out and how those guidelines and protocols were submitted to the hospital. So we took those exact questions and turned them around from the hospital perspective and asked the hospital how they received the information from the hospital and what they received, from the health department and what they received from the health department, so we could compare. Is everybody seeing this the same way? So we compared the H1N1 guidelines and protocols that were reported in the KFRN study as having been sent out to hospitals from local health departments, and then compared that with what hospitals reported having received. We also compared the method of delivery from the KFRN study on the guidelines, how they went out, and then how the hospital reported having received the information. Now here are some of the study results. We began by asking about types of collaborative activity: community needs assessments, infectious disease outbreaks, community health education, emergency preparedness, and any other activity. And we gave them a couple of examples: WIC, the HANDS program, smoking cessation, and things like that. You can see by a pretty large proportion, emergency preparedness at 81% is the activity that is highest, receiving the highest number of selections from the hospitals as the ways in which they are currently working with local health departments. Second is infectious disease outbreak, and then you can see what the lowest one is, at least currently in Kentucky, is working together on community needs assessments. Now then we did ask the question about, from the hospital perspective again, how would you like to be working with the local health department? And what's interesting about this is a couple of the ones that were so high in what they're doing right now, emergency preparedness and infectious disease outbreaks, went down. We weren't exactly sure how to interpret that, if they feel comfortable with it and didn't particularly respond, or if they don't see the need. We'd need more research to determine what's going on there. But what we did notice is, look at community needs assessment. It went from a very small percentage to 60%, and we feel like that's probably driven by the current community benefit regulations from the IRS, which requires not-for-profit hospitals to do a community needs assessment. So some of our hospitals in Kentucky are starting to figure that out and realize that some of our local health departments are already doing these things, and maybe that would be a place to go for assistance. This is the question about liaison activity. So the column in the middle is, during times of normal operation, is someone designated as the liaison to the local health department? We ask if there was only one designee or if multiple people were designated, and you can see that's about the same. 36% have one person, 32% have two. What's concerning is that 23% of the hospitals who reported back on the survey have no one designated to work with the local health department. Now, then we flipped it just a little bit and specifically asked them about times of emergency or crisis, and you can see it goes up. One designee is now 43%, multiple designees is 40%, and the percentage of hospitals who have not designated someone to work with the local health department has dropped from 23 down to 9. So it backs up what we originally found out, that emergency preparedness is the most frequent way that the two entities collaborate. Now, the next two questions are the ones that we are comparing with the KFRN study, the Kentucky Public Health Research Network, the H1N1 event. So down the left-hand side, you can see the guidelines and protocols that the local health departments in that KFRN study, which is over on the right-hand side, reported having sent out to the local hospitals. So the way to interpret this is, the first one, identification of suspected cases, 90% of the respondents to the original KFRN study about the H1N1 event reported having sent identification of suspected case information to the local hospital. So that's how to read that. And case reporting protocol, 90% of the health departments reported having sent that to the hospital. So that goes all the way down. So what we did is ask the hospitals, what did you get from the local health department? So you can see that the percentages are quite different. On the identification of suspected cases, it dropped to 62%. Case reporting down to 75. The most dramatic one is containment guidelines, and this again is on the H1N1 event, dropped from 77% of health departments say they sent it to hospitals, and only 45% of the hospitals reported having received it. Now the next one is method of delivery, and this may seem kind of elementary to ask this question, but we thought we could learn something on the best way to communicate between the two entities. So on the far right-hand side on the KFRIEND study, the method of delivery that you sent the guidelines or protocols to the hospitals, and you see that 76% used the fax machine, 76% emailed, 64% used a phone, 30% used the web, and 12% used something else. What's dramatically different is how the hospitals reported having received that information from the local health department, and the biggest difference is we dropped from 76% of the local health departments having sent the information via fax to only 23% of the hospitals reported ever having received a fax from the health department. Now, one of the things that we're sort of playing around with, wondering if there's a connection, is you remember a couple questions back, it indicated that many of the hospitals have more than one designee to work with the local health department. So we're thinking, if that's the case, could it be a possibility that the fax is not going to the right place? So that could be something that's contributing to that. Now you see that email, phone, web, and the other sources stay pretty similar between the two, but the fax is dramatically different. We also ask questions about barriers. Now the middle column says, what are the barriers to your hospital collaborating with your local health department? Why don't you do it? What makes it hard? Communication received 15%, finances 15%, human resources 19%, but look at time. Your hospitals are saying 62% of our respondents said that time is the big issue. They don't have time to work with their local health department. So then we ask them, from their perspective, what do you perceive as the barrier coming the other way? Why don't you think the local health department works with you? And that's from the hospital perspective. And you're seeing pretty much the same thing, 15% on communication. The hospitals are perceiving that the local health department has a greater financial issue in having time and resources to work on collaboration. The hospitals are also perceiving that the health department may have less people, more of a human resources issue to collaboration. But again, look at time. The hospitals are perceiving that the local health departments also don't have time for this collaborative activity. Now that's a little bit concerning when we look back to the 10 essential public health functions and the fact that collaboration is one of those. So that was an interesting question. There's a couple more things that we ask regarding barriers. This one may be a little bit confusing, but when we ask the hospitals what are the barriers to working with the local health department, we included in that question, do you have a lack of confidence in the expertise in your local health department? Could that be why you don't work with them? And got a very low response there. So only 4% said that was the case, which is a little bit more positive. So of course we didn't ask that question with the hospital's perception on why the local health departments don't work with them. What we ask there is, as a hospital, do you perceive that working with the hospital is a low priority for the local health department? And of course we were hoping to get, oh no, that couldn't possibly be the case because of the 10 essential public health functions that direct us all to do collaborative activity. However, 23% of our respondents said that they believe the local health department doesn't see collaboration as a priority. So that's a concern. Now, what we tried to do with all this is pull out some thoughts. What could we do with this information? Are there collaborative improvements that could be made? The community needs assessment, as I mentioned before, is sort of a hot topic for at least not-for-profit hospitals right now. So we see that as a means for local health departments and hospitals to work together. We have already talked to some groups of local health department directors in Kentucky about the fact that this is a hot topic for not-for-profit hospitals. They should reach out to their local hospital. That's a bridge that they can use to work together. We also feel like there's some information to be gained on the liaison designation. If, in fact, you are designating more than one person to work with the health department, does the health department know that, know who they are and how to contact them? Communication methods, I guess the big message there is don't fax anything to the hospital because they apparently don't receive that from the health department, at least the results of our study, so be careful about that. And then making time for collaboration. Time is such a huge element for all of us as we try to do the work that we're doing now, but we've got to make some time for that collaboration so we can share resources and share expertise. So I'll take any questions at the end of the presentation. Thank you.